In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What does the Feast of Pentecost mean? Well, one thing you should understand is that the Feast of Pentecost is not something that the church came up with out of whole cloth. It had its antecedent in the Old Testament. And it's closely connected with the Feast of Pascha, which also had its antecedent in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when we read about Passover, as usually translated into English, we're told about how the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and that God moved Pharaoh finally to let the people go by striking them with various plagues. But the last plague that they were struck with was the angel of death came and killed the firstborn of every man and beast among the Egyptians. But the Israelites were spared because they sacrificed a Passover lamb, and they marked the doors of their house with the blood of that lamb. And according to tradition, it was in the form of a cross. Now, we don't celebrate Passover in the same way that the Jews celebrate it, because it was given new meaning in the New Testament. But that Old Testament feast foreshadowed the new, because we have a new Passover lamb, and by his blood, our lives are spared. We pass from death to life. We're set free from slavery. And so that's what we're celebrating on the Feast of Pascha. Pascha is just the Greek version of the Hebrew word Pesach, which is where the word Passover comes from. Well, the Feast of Pentecost was celebrated 50 days after Passover. And in Hebrew, it's called, if you translate it in English, the Feast of Weeks. It's a week of weeks, 7 times 7 plus 1 day. That adds up to 50. So when it was translated into Greek, they translated it as Pentecost. Now, what does that feast celebrate? Well, it had a double meaning. The Feast of Pentecost marked the bringing in of the wheat harvest. So it was a time of harvest. It was a time of great joy. But also, it commemorated the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, you might ask, well, how does that giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai connect with the feast that we're celebrating today? Well, we hear about it in the prophets. The word New Testament didn't originate in the New Testament. We find the word New Testament first used in the Old Testament. The prophet Jeremiah said, "I'll make a new covenant with my people Israel." And when he describes that new covenant, he says, "I will write my law in their hearts, and they will be my people, and they will obey, and they won't have to ask anyone else to teach them, because they'll all be able to teach, because they'll have that law written in their heart. They'll be filled with the Spirit." So that's what we are commemorating today. Now, last night, when we read Old Testament readings, we read first about an incident that happened as Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt into the Promised Land. The people were getting tired of just eating manna, the bread from heaven that they were getting every day. They got tired of it. It was a miracle that was keeping them alive, but they became ungrateful. And so we're told that some of the riffraff, as it's referred to, began to say, "Give us some meat. We remember the fish that we had in Egypt, which we ate all the time, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But our souls are now dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes, this heavenly miracle that's happening every day that's feeding us. That's all we have." And so these people were moaning and crying to Moses, and Moses was bothered by all this, and it was a heavy burden for him, and so he began to complain to God. We're told that he said to the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have meat to give unto this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." Kill me, God, I've had enough of this, is basically what he was saying. Then begins the actual reading that we heard last night. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Now the tabernacle was the tent structure that was the antecedent to the Old Testament temple. And so as the people were wandering around, they would set up this tabernacle, and there the ark would set, and that's where they came to worship God. So Moses called these 70 elders, and they came to the temple, and they prayed, and the Holy Spirit came upon these elders, and they began to prophesy. It just so happened that there were two of the 70 that didn't come. We're not told why they didn't come. It's possible maybe the word didn't get to them in time, but their names were Eldad and Medad. But they began to prophesy outside of the tabernacle. And then one of the young men came and told Moses and said, "Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp." And then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My lord Moses forbid them," because they were prophesying outside the tabernacle. They weren't doing what they had been asked to do, and they were supposed to be there as a support to Moses, but here these people are outside the tabernacle. And so Joshua saw this as some sort of disorder, some disrespect perhaps to Moses. And it says that Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." This, the fathers tell us, was a foreshadowing, an inkling of the promise of the Holy Spirit that was to come, because the people in the Old Testament were not yet ready as a whole to receive the Holy Spirit with power. But this is the promise of the New Testament. This was not, the Holy Spirit is no longer limited to one person. We don't have just a pope who's full of the Holy Spirit. We don't even have a bunch of bishops or even priests that are full of the Holy Spirit. We have a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We all have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Christ, on the Feast of the Ascension that we celebrated just recently, before he ascended, he told his apostles, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We all have that power available to us. And then the prophet Ezekiel, another reading that we read last night, says, "A new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." All of us have this power available to us. Now you might say, "Well, I don't feel that power in my life." Well, it's kind of like, I often encounter this at work, people who, when you have a father and a mother that are separated, the court order says to the father he's supposed to provide insurance. They come into my office, and the mom is saying, "Well, he doesn't have any insurance." He says, "I've had insurance for the last 3 years, but you never gave the card to the mom, so she didn't know you had insurance." So the fact that she actually had insurance for her children was of no use to her because she didn't know how to use it. Well, we all have the seal of the Holy Spirit given to us after we were baptized. We were sealed with chrismation. That power is available to us. We have to avail ourselves to it. We have to open up our hearts to it. We have to repent. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. And if we give ourselves 100% to Christ, He will sanctify us. He will fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will begin to use us. All of us have a ministry that we've been called to, and all of us should be operating in that ministry. We all don't have the same ministry. St. Paul talks quite a bit about this. We all have different gifts. There's many different things that need to happen for the church to function in a healthy way and for us to do all the things that God wants us to do. So you have to seek God and ask him to show you what it is that he wants you to do. But know this, as St. Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he preached to the people, this promise is for you and for your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen.